is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome to Studio 2009. I'm, of course, Steve, Joe, and Mike. Jeremy, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
And this week, we're going to be talking about Video Games We Love, Part 1. In Part 1, we're going to be focusing on the 8 and 16-bit eras of video games, specifically starting with Nintendo Entertainment System and the Sega Master System. So Nintendo versus Sega, yay. I do know that my mom had an Atari 2600. I'm sure your mom or your dad had an Atari 2600 or a 1700 or whatever hundred that actually, they had.
My parents did not own video game systems.
Really?
No. I had to go to my uncle's.
Okay.
In order to play their Atari and their Commodore 64.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And I had to go to my friend's houses. I had two down my street. One that had the Nintendo and one that had the Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
As well as I had a cousin that had the Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't own a game console until the year that the GameCube came out.
Mm.
That was my first one that I physically bought.
Wow.
But I did play Game Boy prior to that because I bought them in the late 90s when Pokemon was all the rage.
Isn't Pokemon all the rage still today?
I don't think people care as much about it now.
Really?
I could be wrong, but I mean, I don't foresee there being anything that's like, gonna have it, man!
I don't know, man. All those Pokemon Go players a few years ago, they were catching them all, you know, on, you know, cliffs and in zoos and, you know, all that stuff because, you know, Pokemon Go was like, go get the Pokemon, go outside and exercise and play video games while you exercise. Anyway, for me, like I said, my mom did have an Atari 2600. I remember playing, I think it was called Barnstormers on there, and a bunch of other games that I can't remember off the top of my head as of this moment. You know how you always are faced with choices as children?
Oh, yeah.
And you go down a certain path that leads you down a certain path? Well, sadly, I made an incorrect choice as a child.
What'd you get?
So I know there are probably a lot of people out there that love the Sega Master System. My mom was like, you're not getting both. You can have a choice, either this or that. And for some odd reason, Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers did not. I don't know why. It just didn't. I'm like, ooh, the Sega Master System is all black. I'll take the all black system. The two games I remember playing on that system the most until I eventually got a Super Nintendo in 1992 for Christmas were Alex Kidd and the Lost Stars and Reggie Jackson Baseball. I don't remember playing any other games on the Master System other than those two. And I'm like, damn it, why didn't I get a Nintendo Entertainment System? Like you, my cousins had the Nintendo Entertainment System, and I would be over their house all the time. As soon as Super Mario Bros. 3 came out, oh my god, I was there every day. And then the Game Genie happened, and I'm like, oh?
Cheat codes.
Exactly.
See, that was the joys of emulation in the late 90s,
mm-hmm.
You could punch in the code there. And it was built mm-hmm. in the emulator. You didn't
yep.
have to. I mean, granted, the whole thing was bootleg anyway. But yeah, I mean, I remember playing. Granted, I would look up codes on how to, you know, after the internet was a thing. I'd go to like gamefaq.com to look up different ways of beating through different games because. We didn't have YouTube where we could watch the game played out.
Yeah.
So the one of the my favorite Sega games was Altered Beast, which still is one of my favorite Sega games. And I think that's partially where the Altered Geek thing came from, because I ended up getting my aunt's Sega Genesis, and it had like the adapter for the older cartridges too. But I used to play Altered Beast, and I figured out all the little codes and ways that you could play it. Granted, it was called like the Sega Genesis, like Mega Drive or something like that. And that was, again, that's where I got the website name Mega Drive. Because I had a Sega at that time. But yeah, I mean, I played games like that. I played, trying to look through this list on Wikipedia, trying to find some other games that I actually played. Of course, I played every Sonic game
Yeah,
that
me
was
too.
on it. But
So
yeah, I
it's
mean,
funny you mention that. Go ahead.
well, I was gonna say I remember playing Golden Axe, all the Sonic games. Man, just trying to find other games. They're like Outrun, Super Outrun. Yeah.
I remember playing Sonic 1 and 2. I know hopefully he'll be listening to this because it's video game based, and he gave me some tips on where to find certain lists and things. Our good buddy TV's Mr. Neil. I messaged him before we recorded this, and I'm like, is there a list somewhere of Nintendo Entertainment System, Sega, and all that games? He's like, that would still be a gargantuan thing to compile. I don't even know where I'd find such a list, much less how to parse it into something intelligible. Yeah, I mean, for me, what's so interesting to me about the Nintendo versus Sega war at the time, once the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis came out, I personally never played Sonic 3, Sonic and Knuckles, whatever you want to call it, that third Sonic game.
Well, that's funny because those are two different games.
I know
Sonic
they are.
3 has Knuckles in it. Then there's
You're
Sonic
right.
and Knuckles. I played those on
Yeah.
the PC because they had a PC adapted version and Sonic CD, which I played on the PC as well because, again, at that time I didn't have a console. I had to play on the computer. But I did play the Streets of Rage series. Which the fourth film actually, or not film, game actually just came out recently. Which I'm dying to play, and I'm not gonna lie, I haven't played it yet, but that's on the list because I really enjoyed playing those. But yeah, I mean, you had pretty much any adaptation of any TV or movie series that was going on either system. But those were pretty much like the only games I actually played on the Sega Genesis. The Nintendo side, you had like literally every Mario and Mega Man game known to man.
Absolutely. For me, the interesting thing about it was, as I was saying, with Sonic 3, and yes, I understand that Sonic and Knuckles is a separate thing because Knuckles was in 3. Neil was saying that Sonic 3 is the superior game to Sonic 2 because of better graphics, and I agree, it does have better graphics in it. I don't know, I always dug Sonic 2 the most out of the three of them. Because I love the music in Sonic 2, and I love the sound effects in it, and that ring chase bonus level is my favorite out of all the bonus levels Sonic ever had. For me, with Super Nintendo versus Genesis, it was always about what are the differences? Because that was the first time. Okay, nowadays you have, let's say, your Streets of Rage 4. or even the like Horizon Zero or whatever. Basically, any game you can think of nowadays comes out on multiple systems unless a certain system has it for an exclusive, like the Spider-Man game that's been out on PlayStation. That's Sony's Spider-Man. That's I don't think that's on Xbox. If it is, they must have made a deal with them. But as far as I know, the PlayStation Sony game that came out recently, last couple of years, is exclusive to PlayStation. In the 90s, where I first encountered this was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and Aladdin, Disney's Aladdin. The Aladdin version for Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo, it's supposed to be the same game, but it really isn't. It plays differently on both systems, obviously, but it was so, so silly. I remember losing thousands of hours just playing Super Mario World. I remember when I got the Super Nintendo Entertainment System on Christmas for 92 going into 93. Christmas night into the next morning, I stayed up all night playing Super Mario World. I love that game. Like you said, the Mega Man games. Pilot Wings was...
I was more of a fan of Mega Man X than Mega Man.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
I've never really been a huge fan of Mega Man, but Mega Man X has been like kind of my go-to as far as the old stuff is concerned. Yeah.
I liked Mega Man 2, 3, and 4. I don't think I cared for the first one all that much, and I know I didn't care for the 5th and 6th one all that much on the original Nintendo Entertainment System. Excitebike on the NES just made me so mad half the time. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, oh, Lord.
I used to play Aladdin.
Yep.
With some friends, and that was by far my favorite thing to play on the Super Nintendo.
Yep. Let's see, TMNT on the NES, that was always really cool. Love the music out of that and the graphics in that one. Even the Game Boy. So I didn't have, until my 13th birthday, I didn't have my own Game Boy. My Aunt Rose, my cousin Heather's mother, had a Game Boy, and I would always borrow it from her. I loved playing Tetris. I loved playing Super Mario Land. The thing about the Game Boy is, luckily, there were rechargeable batteries back then. There still are today. But back then, unless you had rechargeable batteries and a battery charger, you would pretty much be out of luck if you ran out of batteries.
Yep.
I know you have. I know you have gone past the original Game Boy in your gaming. You've gone to the Color and other things. I never went to the Game Boy Color. It's like something happened where a paradigm shift happened where I'm like, oh. The original Game Boy, absolutely love it. Game Boy Color, yeah, it's much smaller, whatever. But
you want to know what I did, though?
What'd you do?
Well, my brother had, we bought him used. My brother got the classic Game Boy with all the accessories.
Mm-hmm.
I, on the other hand, I got the Game Boy Pocket, and I had and my youngest brother got the Game Boy Color. There was a methodology to this. My middle brother, which is Brian, he enjoys, or did enjoy, the archaic stuff. So he had all these mega accessories to make his thing, like this, the most humongous like portable computer you would see. My other brother, Kevin, who's the youngest, he had the Game Boy Color. And mm-hmm. I was intrigued by the Game Boy Color, except I looked and the screen was smaller than the original Game Boy.
Right.
And I was like, I don't like that.
And yeah, me neither.
So I think I did buy a Game Boy Pocket new, and I bought the clear one, the translucent one, and just because I thought it was cool. And I bought it because the screen was almost twice the size of the regular Game Boy and the Game Boy Color, and it was much thinner. Like, Yeah. Predictably, it's about the size of my Pixel 3a XL with an OtterBox attached to it. It was right. About that thick, and I could shove it in my pocket, and it was, you know, incognito while I was at school, and I would pull it out and play the game when nobody was paying attention to me. So, yeah, I mean, it's no different than smartphones now. It's just everybody played Game Boy back then. And then I bought the Game Boy Advance after the Game Boy Pocket, and I was still able to play all those old games, but it was a side-scroller, and the screen was even bigger, and I was that much more excited for it. But and it would up-convert things to an extent to make them make sense on the color screen that came with it. But, yeah, I mean, it was one of those things. And I only – the funny thing is I only ever bought, like, a couple games for it. I had a Mario Light Land. I had Mega Man Extreme, which was Mega Man X, but Mega Man X Extreme 1 and 2. And then I had, like, Pokemon Red, and that was pretty much it. But I would play the crap out of them. Like, I actually bought the stuff again at a used shop probably 10 years ago when I worked at the car lot. I bought them at a used gaming store because I wanted to play Pokemon Red again, and it still was just as expensive as the first time I bought it. The Game Boy, I spent probably almost the same amount I spent 10 years prior to that to get Pokemon Red and a Game Boy Pocket as I did that time to play it again. And then I was like, you know, I could just download an emulator on my phone and do the same thing for free.
Yep. Yeah. I, after Game Boy and after Super Nintendo, I kind of dropped off the gaming market, and this is kind of probably going to transition us into the next time we do part two or whatever this episode is going to be called kind of thing. Because the next time we'll talk about PlayStation 1, 2, that kind of stuff, and that era, GameCube and whatever else. But, yeah, I would say from 95 to whenever the original PlayStation came out, I was not gaming. I was playing Super Nintendo and stuff, but I was not, like, I was not in on the Dreamcast. I was not into Sega CD. I was not into the 32X or any of that stuff. Just priorities and everything else changed at the time. But I love video games. One of my absolute favorites on Super Nintendo, Super Nintendo and arcade, TMNT4, Turtles in Time. Oh my god, I could play that game for hours. Hello?
I played the TMNT games, but it was mostly at arcade.
Yeah. I've played the SNES version of Turtles in Time, and I enjoy it. But yeah, you're right. Most of those were at the arcade. It's so funny what ends up at the what was in the arcade compared to what was on the home consoles. Because, man, I remember, and I know this is kind of getting into the next time topic for part two, but I remember playing Soul's Edge in a movie theater arcade, which is basically Soul Calibur, which is the one of the fighting games, and I was like, oh, this is so cool! I absolutely love this. Obviously, you know, you play Pac-Man in arcade, you play OutRun. One thing that was absolutely really cool for me was I believe it's called the Star Wars Trilogy. It was this giant surround sound seat thing where you sit in it, you put your quarters in, and the giant screen in front of you, you can either play episode 4, 5, or 6, so Star Wars, Empire, or Jedi, and you could play basically the film in a video game, and that was so cool. I just thought that was really, really fun, and I'm like, ooh, I would love to have this in my house someday, but that's never gonna happen because this thing is massive. Mm. But yeah, video games, so awesome. There's so many cool things with video games between the graphics and the music. For me, if video game music captures me, I will absolutely listen to it outside of the game, that kind of thing. And the advent of video game music, as it's progressed over the decades, it's just gotten so much better with time.
Oh, so. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to bring up before we get the heck out of here?
Well, I'm kind of curious what the listeners would say are their favorite, like, 8-bit, 16-bit gaming era. Not only console, but games. I kind of played whatever my friends had. It wasn't necessarily, like, my own selection of games that I would play. Like, yes, I still play them, you know, periodically. On a lot of the free sites that let you do that, right from their webpage now. But, but ultimately, like, I don't, trying to think of the right word. I didn't select the games because they were my favorite. I selected them because that's what they had. And, I was familiar at least with the genre it was touching on, whether it was TMNT or a fighting game or, I mean, heck, my cousin had, the Power Rangers game and the Power Rangers, the movie game on his Sega Genesis. Mm-hmm. And I played those and I actually loved them because I was familiar with Power Rangers and the beat 'em up was pretty much the same as Streets of Rage. So that's why I got into Streets of Rage. And so it all kind of boiled down to what I was familiar with. And, you know, I like Mega Man because I watched Mega Man. So when I got older, when I was selecting for new stuff, I enjoyed games from a totally different perspective, but it was also from games that I watched something of the TV show related to it. Like, I still am a rabid Star Trek Online player right now, and it's because it's Star Trek and because I can customize pretty much anything on it. And I'm really good at the game. And I love the storyline. So a lot of the games that I play now is because of story, not necessarily anything else. But I would be interested to see what people would choose as their go-to consoles and games from that 80s to 90s era.
Absolutely. People will have to let us know on the website, social media, all that good stuff. Thank you for joining us inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. As I just mentioned, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other posts. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, I hope. And, of course, the home where our files exist, Spreaker. You can also find us in most any other podcatcher like Stitcher and other things like that. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. At It's Studio 2009 is the show. I am at TM21 Mike. What is your Twitter?
At SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork and you can search out Studio 2009 Podcast as well. Coming up next week, we've got a 20th anniversary for an animated film. In episode 9, we're going to be talking about Titan AE, that is After Earth. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon. Catch you next time, folks.
In a world, there, I said it. Happy.